Galatians 3:1-5. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? This is the word of God.
All right. Good morning. One more time. Again, happy Mother's Day. I want to make sure that I mention that. And thank you for prayer that was prayed for all the moms and our ladies at our church. And just kind of, you know, thinking about infants and new members. Again, we were so thankful for just new members. And again, it's really what God's doing in people's lives. We celebrate with you today as we make commitment to this local church. And then just want to also thank our teachers and helpers as we dedicate infants at this church. You know, it's really how we come around the families in some ways, not always, but in some ways it's through our teachers and helpers. And I know we have many volunteers that help with our kids. So we're very thankful. Thank you for serving and teaching. Just to give you an example, what kind of difference you're making with the kids. This past week, I was talking with my son, my second son, who is 12 years old, and he came up to me. He said, "Dad," so he's in middle school class, and he said, "Dad, today's lesson was about lust." And I said, "Really?" And so I said, "So what'd you think?" And he looked at me and he said, "It was weird." That's a good answer for a 12, you know, year old boy. But all that to say, thank you teachers as you kind of come around our families, you know, to raise up our kids. And we're going through the book of Galatians, and today, because, you know, a lot of things have happened, I want to try to kind of shorten my sermon a bit, or I thought about that, and we'll kind of only cover 5 verses today. Again, you know, book of Galatians, you know, I know preachers say this often, you know, how important certain books are and certain verses are, but Galatians, you could kind of feel how crucial it is for Paul. Because what he says, you know, in the beginning, if you were here in the beginning, as we talked about Galatians chapter 1, how Paul starts out the book, he says, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ." I mean, he's astonished. And then the section that we read today, he says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" It's what it sounds like. It's a rebuke. Paul is rebuking this church. "You foolish Galatians." One commentator kind of paraphrases it this way. He says, "You idiots! Why are you being so idiotic?" I mean, it's a rebuke if there was one in Scripture. "You foolish Galatians." But it's a rebuke coming out of love. You know, if you see a child who's running outside and crossing the street without looking, I mean, what do? You go, "What are you doing?" You grab him or grab her and you say, "What are you doing? Remember what we talked about? You gotta look. What's coming? Stop." And there's a sense of urgency, and that's what we have here in this letter. There is a sense of great urgency from Paul because he knows how important this is. That these Christians in Galatia, these churches in Galatia are turning away from the truth of the gospel. And that's why Paul comes with utmost urgency and says, "You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And so, you know, chapters 1 and 2, Paul's trying to defend the gospel, and the way that he does it is he tries to defend it from personal testimonial way. So he talks about how God has revealed the gospel to him. It didn't come from any other person. It was a revelation from Jesus. He talks about how he had fellowship with other apostles and they validated what he was preaching. Moving forward, chapters 3 and 4, Paul's defense will be theological. He's going to bring to us a lot of different scripture passages. And so next Sunday, he's going to talk about Abraham. And his point is the same. Main thrust is, you have been saved by faith, not by your works. And that's the thrust of what he's saying. You have been saved by faith, not by works. The section that we read today, it comes between chapters 1 and 2 and what he's going to talk about theologically. And he talks about the Spirit. And now moving forward, he's going to talk about the Spirit pretty often. And what he's doing is he gives you 5 rhetorical questions, right? And he's trying to make an argument. And the essence of all of these questions come from verse 2. So if you have a Bible, just look with me. Verse 2, he says, let me ask you only this, right? So this is his main question. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? It's the same thing, right? He's saying, let me ask you this, Galatians. Do you remember how you received the Spirit of God? Did you receive it from the work, from your works, or did you receive it from hearing with faith? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, of course, they received the Spirit of God from hearing with their faith. Way before these false teachers came to them, you know, the false teachers were saying basically, it's great that you're saved. It's great that you started out your Christian life. Now, if you really want to grow, right, if you really want to add on to your status as a Christian, now you need to do some of these things. And they call these false teachers Judaizers because the laws that they were trying to give to these Christians were from Jewish culture, right? Things like circumcision, things like what you can and cannot eat, what kind of days you need to observe. And so what these false teachers were doing was, it's great that you have a relationship with God. If you really want to grow now, if you really want to develop your faith and really get closer to God, you need to now take these law and you need to begin to observe them. You need to begin to obey them. But what Paul is saying is, that's not how you receive the Spirit. Right? He's saying, think about how you receive the Spirit. Did you receive it by observing the law? Or did you receive it by faith? Hearing with faith? Obviously the answer is faith. What Paul is saying is, way before these Judaizers came to you with these laws, you already had the Spirit. You already had the Spirit. Now think about that. This is pretty crucial because what it means to be a Christian then is, it's not simply doing the right things, like coming to church, serving the poor. I mean, those things are important, and we'll talk about that in a second, but the Christian faith, Christian life is not, what defines you as a Christian is not what you do. And in certain ways, it's not even what you know. You could know the gospel. You could know about God. You could know about Jesus. You could even know about the gospel. But what truly defines your Christianity, what makes you distinct, what makes you Christian is that you have the Spirit of God dwelling or living in you. That's why some theologians say there is a visible church, meaning people who come to church, your visible church, but they would also say there's an invisible church that only God truly sees and God truly knows. Because who can tell whether you, the Spirit of God dwells in you? Only God sort of knows. And so what Paul saying is, the way that you know whether you are a Christian is, do you have the Spirit of God in you? I mean, theological term is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, right? Do you have the Holy Spirit living in you? That's what Jesus talked about in John chapter 3. Do you remember when the Pharisee Nicodemus came and Jesus says, if you want to be born again, you need to, if you want to know God, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, how can anyone be born again when they're old in age? And then Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit of God gives birth to spirit. So one way, whether we, as we think about, being a Christian, followers of Jesus, the one way that we could tell whether we truly are or not is, do we have the Holy Spirit? Now the question then is, well, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? How do you know if you have it? How do you receive it? Look with me at verse 1. The second part of verse 1, Paul says, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, and then he goes on to receiving the Spirit. What's Paul talking about? This is interesting because Paul is talking to Christians in Galatia. They are probably about close to 1,000 miles removed from Jerusalem. So why does Paul say that it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? It cannot mean that they literally saw the crucifixion. What Paul is saying is he's talking about his preaching the gospel. When he came to Galatia, he preached the gospel, and the word portrayed is, it means a visible sign that's placed up so that people could see. What he's talking about is, when I preached the gospel to you, I preached about Jesus Christ crucified. And so when he's talking about you saw him, it's really seeing him with eyes of faith. The eyes of your heart was open. It was stirred so that when I preached the gospel to you, Jesus crucified, you saw him with your eyes. That's what Paul is saying. How do you have the Spirit of God? You have it when your eyes of faith see Jesus crucified. Now this crucifixion, this gospel is not, so it happens like this when, I guess the best way for me kind of explain it is, I had three kids that are young, as they get older. At some point in their life, all three of them had this sort of, oh, that's what Jesus did for me. Like as they were growing up, we would read them the Bible, pray with them when they were young. When they're really young, it's so much fun because anything you tell them, they're so excited to see and repeat after you. So we would read the Bible, we would pray with them. But all of them at one point, it clicked. It wasn't just Jesus died on the cross or Jesus loves people. It was, well, Jesus died for my sin. Dad, Jesus loves me? I still remember praying a prayer with my daughter. I think she was maybe around 8 years old. And for some reason, she was in her bed and she really wanted to pray that night. And I don't know exactly like what happened. I think she was thinking about things and certain things were happening. But I remember kind of sitting there with her and her saying, I need to ask Jesus to forgive my sins. And I remember praying with her and her crying, and I asked her, why are you crying? And she said, I sense God loving me, or something like that. And it kind of clicked, or it sunk. And so what Paul is saying is, when he's talking about our eyes being open to see Jesus' crucifixion, it's talking about personal faith. It's not that Jesus died for general population, or Jesus loved the world, and which is true. But it clicks, it sinks in. And as you come to personal faith in Jesus, that Paul says, that's how or when the Spirit of God came into your life. So his first point is, it wasn't by works, but it was by faith that you received the Spirit. And how did that happen? It's when you saw Jesus' crucifixion. Your eyes were open, eyes of faith, open to see him. So that's number one. Again, it's not by works, but by faith. Here's the second thing. Look at verse 3 with me. He continues and he says, are you so foolish then? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Let me read that one more time. Verse 3. Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Here's what Paul is saying. He's saying, So Galatians, they received the Spirit, they received the gospel, they became Christians. Now they were turning to these false teaching and were trying to add on to what God had done. What Paul is saying is, are you foolish? You know how you begun your relationship with God, how you trusted Him, how the Holy Spirit came. Are you so foolish to leave this behind, neglect this, and now are you trying to perfect yourself or complete yourself through your works? That's what Paul is saying. Now, I think that's a pretty important question because I think a lot of times Christians think this way. We think, when I was young, I became a Christian. I believed in the gospel and I know that the Holy Spirit came into my life and that was great. And sometimes what we do is we kind of take that as an event in our life and we kind of leave it behind. And then we turn this way and you say, okay, now I'm going to really work hard to become a better Christian or become complete or become perfect. Paul is saying, you're acting like a fool. Because he's saying, are you trying to leave what God has accomplished behind and trying to make this with, make growth or make this happen out of your own effort? It's the same word is used in Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. You know, when Paul says, he who began a good work in you will see it, the completion, that's the same word, perfect, completion, on the day of Jesus Christ. What Paul is saying is, it's God who began his work in you, and God will continue in your life. So what's key? Key is Spirit working in your life through faith. Spirit of God working in your life through faith. So that the question then is, are you telling me that, like, obedience, like, that doesn't matter? Like, good works, good life, that doesn't matter? Like, let me say this clearly, okay? It absolutely matters. But here's the key thing. As Christians, we cannot rely on them for our status or for how we feel about God's love for us. Oftentimes what happens is we leave this behind and we work really hard, and if we could accomplish a lot, even for God, we feel better about ourselves. Paul is saying, no, don't rely on your works. Don't rely on your works to feel completed or feel perfect. That's God's work. And here's how you can tell the difference whether you're doing it in the right way or not. Do you remember the parable of the prodigal son? Many of you probably know this parable. It's a parable that's like not only well known, but it's so idea for us Christians. It's the parable about there's a father has two sons. The younger son takes his portion of the inheritance and he goes out and lives a wild life and he spends it all. And when he's down and out, he comes back to the father and says, Father, I've sinned. Please forgive me. Father embraces him. Do you remember that? But there's this older brother who just stayed around the father the whole time. Do you remember? And then the older brother, the father says, come on in, your younger son, my younger son, your brother has come back. Let's come and celebrate. Do you remember what the older brother says? He refuses to go in. And then he says, I've been with you and I've obeyed everything from you, but you haven't killed one goat for me. And if you listen to him, what is he saying? He's saying, I've kept all of these commandments. I obeyed everything that you wanted me to obey. But you haven't done anything for me. Now, what is he doing? You know, what he's doing is he's relying on his obedience to gain a status for himself. His obedience wasn't really for the father, was it? No, it wasn't. Because he obeyed, and what he really wanted was he wanted stuff from the father. He obeyed really for himself. What he was doing was he was relying on his works. I think the good way for us to kind of gauge whether, you know, we're kind of serving God and doing, living a good life in a right way or wrong way is whether we, are like the older brother. You know, is there a spirit of bitterness and spirit of anger, in your Christian life? If there is, I think it's a good way for us to kind of think about, am I really living out of God's love for me, or am I trying to gain His love? Try to gain something from God. What Paul is saying is, you've begun your spiritual life, a Christian life, by faith, as the Spirit came upon you. Don't neglect that, and don't try to perfect yourself by your works. Look at verse 5 with me. He says, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Let me read it one more time. Does God who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles, so God who through the Spirit works in your life, through you, among you, do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? The answer is by hearing with faith. What he's asking is, does God's Spirit work in your life? Does God's Spirit work in your life and work through you by you doing works or by you trusting through faith And the answer, hearing with faith. And obviously, answer is with faith. What Paul is saying is, I think what Paul is saying is, he's saying the way you grow and way you change, it's God's work. Our part is to hear and trust. That's what God is, not to do. Now again, let me just say, doing is important, but we cannot rely on our doing to make us better or make us feel more secure before God. That's what Paul is saying. So let me give you an example. Okay, so let's say someone is really bitter at a friend or can't forgive him. Or maybe it's a parent or, you know, it's your spouse. You know, someone that your heart is, you just can't forgive this person. And you're bitter and you're angry at this person. Now, how do you get over that? Now, one way is, one way you could try is try to, okay, you know what, I know I should be better. I know I should, I'm a Christian. I need to get over this. And you try really hard, you know, and you try to smile at this person. But you know, in your heart, man, you're still angry and still bitter. What Paul's calling us to do is this. He's saying, how this Holy Spirit works is with hearing, with faith. And what he's calling us to do is this. The higher change is, you know, when you can't forgive someone, it's almost always because you feel like this person is getting in the way of getting something that you really want. Or this person is taking something away from you that you really want. It could be happiness, it could be comfort, it could be success. That this person is getting in the way of you getting what you really want. What is that? This idolatry. That's you placing your hope, your security, your confidence in something besides God. What Paul's calling us to do is he's saying, open your eyes and hear with faith. Hear the gospel. What does the gospel tell us? It says that God gave his son to die for my sins. Last Sunday we talked about this, that although I'm sinful, because of Jesus, God immensely, eternally loves me. That I'm justified. That God, how God sees me because of Jesus has completely changed. I can stand before God now feeling, knowing that I am loved by him. Now, if we could see that or hear that with eyes of faith, what happens? Your heart gets overwhelmed. There's a sense of security. And you say in the gospel that I have all that I need. I have all that I need. I don't need this to complete me. That's what Paul is saying. No, God will complete you. I don't need this to feel confident and secure. No, I already have that in Christ. And when you get that, when you hear that, and the Spirit of God works in you, he changes you from inside out. Your desire changes. Your goal changes. Your hope and dreams change. And then you can then forgive this person because now what you wanted is no longer your goal. You already have everything in Christ. And so when you can approach other people, I'm not saying it's easy, okay, but it's a process, but you can have a heart that can forgive someone. And that's what Paul is saying. Paul is saying here, how is the Spirit of God working in you? Is it through works or is it through hearing with your faith? It's hearing the gospel with faith. Or he would say, it's seeing Jesus crucified with eyes of faith. That's what Paul is saying. And that's how the Holy Spirit works. To soften your heart, soften my heart, change me. So that it's not just, oh man, I gotta be better. I gotta forgive this brother or sister. I need to forgive my father or spouse. No, it's God. I hear the gospel with eyes of faith. I see you crucified. And as we meditate on that, as we hear that, the Holy Spirit works. Right? That's what Paul is saying. The Holy Spirit of God works in your heart, to soften your heart, and causes you then to love, forgive. We call this sermon series the bookends of the Christian life, because we said, if you're here in the very beginning, we said that we need two things in our Christian life to feel stable. One, we need sound doctrine. Things like, you've been justified by faith alone in Christ alone. That gives you foundation. It's sturdy. Okay, God loves me for, not because of how good I am, but because who Jesus is, what he has accomplished for me. We need that. That's one bookend. But we said that we need the other bookend, which is the Holy Spirit using the right doctrine to empower us. We're leaning on this side, what the Spirit of God is doing in our soul. And we need both. And if we have both bookends, there will be foundation for your life. And you can move forward with sense of security and confidence. Whether it's loving people, whether it's serving God's church or going on missions. It's, you're not doing to get something, but you're really doing to glorify God. You're not relying on good works, but no, you're relying on your bookends, the gospel, right? And so you can go and love people. And rest of the book of Galatians is really, really Paul unpacking that. Unpacking this more theologically, but also unpacking this more and helping us to see how we need to walk in the steps with the Spirit. And that's what he talks about in chapters 5 and 6. Okay, so let's pray, and we'll close our time this morning. I want to give us just a minute to respond, and maybe, you know, we could kind of close in this way. Think about your life now, and think about what you're standing on. Like, what's making you feel confident or secure? What's giving you hope? And if it's not the gospel, and if it's not the Holy Spirit working in your life through the gospel of Christ, your life will be shaken. And so can we, this morning or this afternoon, come back and, what Paul here says, have our eyes of faith open to see Jesus crucified and allow that to be our foundation. And as we hear it with ears and ears of faith and see it with eyes of faith, the Spirit of God will work in our souls to change us and to stir us and convict us and encourage us. Can we just do that? Maybe thinking about what our foundation is, you know, what we're standing on, what we're hoping for. And if it's not Christ, let's turn away from that and turn to Him and see Him this morning with eyes of faith. Give us a minute to kind of pray, and then I'll pray for us, and then we'll sing our closing song. Heavenly Father, we look at Galatians, Christians in Galatia, and we find ourselves often like them, having begun our spiritual life, our Christian life with you, and being loved by you and loving you back. And somewhere along the way, kind of losing that and turning to our own efforts to make ourselves feel better, or make you love us more. Lord, we want to kind of turn and just remember that all that we ever wanted, all that our hearts longed for has been completed through Christ on the cross. Help us to recognize that and allow that to sink deeply into our hearts so that the eyes of our faith will be open to see Him more. Lord, in the same way, we pray that as we do that, we pray that your Spirit that dwells in us will begin to stir in us new desire for you and new desire to love other people and serve the church and serve other people. And pray, Lord, that our desires will change. Commit just the church to you, Lord. Thank you for, again, for all that you're doing. We pray, Lord, just like we've started through your Spirit, we pray that you will continue to work through your Spirit as we continue to trust in you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your faithfulness. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. At this time, I'll ask the ushers to come up and we'll collect offering and ask us to stand as we sing our last song and collect offering at the same time.